One thing for sure, to live on this earth, we need money. You all agree?
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, we all need money. However, we don't have to be the slave of money. Greedy heart comes from the selfishness, which based on pride. The old Roman proverb says, it describes greed perfectly. Riches is like a salt water. The more you drink, the more you thirst. It does not know when to end. It was a great reformer, Martin Luther, said this. You need a three conversions in Christianity that you have to experience. First one is conversion of the head. Second one is conversion of the heart. And third one is conversion of pocketbook. It's worth noting that money is such an important topic in the Bible that it is the main subject nearly half of the parable Jesus told. Money and possession. In addition, one in every seven verses in the New Testament deals with this topic. Did you know that?
No.
Money and possession is a very, very important topic in the New Testament. Bible offers 500 verses on prayer and fewer than 500 for faith. But over 2,000 verses mentioned regarding money and possession. In fact, 15% of everything Jesus ever taught was on the topic of money and possession, and more of his teaching on heaven and hell put together. Wonder why he talked about that money so much? We'll find out. Why such a topic, emphasis on the topic of the money and possession? Because there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about money and what we do with that money. When Zacchaeus, remember that little guy, Danny DeVito lookalike? When Zacchaeus got saved in Luke chapter 19, what did he promise to Jesus? He said he would give half of his wealth to the poor. And anyone whom he cheat on, he will repay them four times more. And you're thinking, why don't we hire Jackie as an IRS agent? Well, that would be a great idea, but I don't think it's a little too late. He wanted to do what is right in his sight, what in God's sight. See, he did not experience the conversion just in his head, just in his heart, but as well as his pocket. It really touched his life. We might recoil from the idea of the study of money because it's been abused and manipulated by some of the, in my opinion, selfish and twisted mind preachers. But we need to get this proper biblical point of view and perspective for this important subject. In the book of Proverbs, communicate to us concisely and clearly. So let's ask God to give us wisdom to understand this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, each day we live on this earth, we realize that this is not our home. Our home is where you are in heaven. Though we are still here, we are to live our lives in such a way that we reflect our Savior Jesus Christ to the lost ones around us. When it comes to the money matters, we can be easily swept away in the way of the world. So we ask you to teach us your way and let us learn your insight that we can manage the money you allowed us to have instead of being managed by money. We lift up the President Obama that he may be saved, truly saved, come to know Jesus, and receive you as his Lord, that he may do what is right. And we also pray for our troops, and especially the one in harm's way in Afghanistan and Iraq. And then we're lifting up our Border Patrol agent, Sheriff Department deputies, and police officers, wherever they are. And we also pray for the firefighters around this community. We're asking you to watch over them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Are you there yet?
Yes.
Good. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Underline, highlight, the circle, memorize, please. Now, godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. It is certain we can nothing, carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with this, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, into the many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, underline this again, for the love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God's word portrays contentment as a desirable goal, the level of satisfaction every Christian should experience. You see, that it functions in the realm of reality, and it brings responsibility and righteousness, in my opinion. See, contentment is not laziness. Let me say one more time. Contentment is not laziness, nor is not complacency, nor the satisfaction with mediocrity. Our God is God of excellence, and we should not bring anything but our best to Him. That it should always reflect His excellence. It is inner God-given sufficiency which does not depend on material possessions and circumstance. Here are some benefits of contentment. I find three of them. First one is contentment allows current enjoyment rather than constant striving. If you don't have a contentment in your heart, you can never satisfy with what you have. Soon as you get that thing that you've been wanting so bad, so long, and soon as you get it, guess what? You're thinking, I think I want something else. And you start to look for something else. Second benefit of a contentment is, and the guy's thinking, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Contentment gives us a freedom to recognize and applaud other people's achievement without being eaten up with envy. In other words, somebody get promoted, your neighbor's got the brand new car, you are not, your face not turning into green in envy. Third benefit I find is contentment enables to develop genuinely grateful spirit to God. Remember the Israeli in the wilderness? One thing they did really good in 40 years, what did they do well? Complain. Why do they have a complaint? You know, another word for complaining is a murmur, right? It's kind of you walk around, murmur. That sounds just about right. When we are not happy with what God is doing in our lives, what do? We complain. That is against God. That is a sin. Proverbs chapter 30, please. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Chapter 30, verse 7. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Verse 8, remove the falsehood and lie far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Riches is not so good when you don't know how to handle. Poverty is certainly is not good when you don't know how to handle. Let's make one thing clear, folks. Being rich is not a sin, okay? Being rich is not a sin. Poor people can sin by wanting to be rich at any cost. And that is sin. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the love of money, greed, is root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself. Money and being rich is not wrong, not right. It's just a status and the situation. But when we allow the greed to take over our heart, and that's when it becomes a serious sin. As I have said before, money makes a wonderful servant. Money makes wonderful servants, but it makes horrible, horrible master. You agree?
Yes.
So let's go to chapter 13, and we will see true riches versus greed. Proverbs 13, verse 7. We're going to turn a lot of verses in Proverbs as well as the New Testament. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Go to chapter 15, verse 16. 15, 16. Sounds like we're playing bingo. 15, 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than the great treasures, a treasure with the trouble. Verse 17, better is a dinner with the herb, that means eating a lot of potatoes, where love is, than the fatted calf with the hatred. It's better to eat potato, only potato, than eating best prime rib in the world with the hatred within the family. The majority of people on earth, including born-again Christians, many of them, do not understand that true riches have nothing to do with their earthly financial wealth. The people with a lot of money on this earth, they may not even understand the meaning of true riches. Some of you may know and heard about the family feud among the owner of the U-Haul company. From 1970s to 1990, that there were the lawsuits, and I heard the actual conversation between father and son, telephone conversation. There it was recorded, and they are calling each other. I mean, horrible, horrible. All the names in the book, and the one brother suing another brother. It was one of the bitterest family feud ever recorded in American business history. So why did that happen? One single word, greed. Greed will never be able to replace the true riches that only comes from God Himself with an additional gift, peace. Peace. Show me one person who is greedy yet have a peace. You don't. You'll never find that person. Greed and peace of God never coexist. You get that? Greed and the peace of God never coexist. Let's take a look at the things that money cannot buy. It's a common thought that everybody has a price, everything has a price. As long as you have money, you can buy anything you want or anybody you want. It may sound right in current situation, but it is not true. There are things, many things that cannot be bought. And I find several things. I bring it to you first two things, good reputation and love. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. The riches and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. They said money talks. I do believe that. My money talks to me all the time. He said, bye. Another one says, ciao. Yeah, adios. And that must be Spanish money, right? See, money may be able to buy fame, but not good reputation. Money able to buy the people who will say, I love you, but they are out there to siphon money out of you. They don't care for you in a true way. Second thing that money cannot buy is humility and the fear of God. Chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Money can make the people to think that they are someone special. Or also it gives them a false sense of security. How many people thought that they really had everything down for them to retire and last year stock market crashed and now they got to go back to work? They thought they had money. They put the emphasis on money. They didn't put the emphasis on God. They had a false sense of security. Third thing they cannot buy is integrity. Chapter 28, verse 6. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Are you guys cold?
Yes.
No. Yes. No. Forget it. I asked. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his way, though he be rich. Have you ever seen a greedy person who retained integrity in his business or in his life? You cannot have a true integrity when your heart is filled with the greed. I'm sure there's many other things that you can find that I didn't mention here that the money cannot buy. Let's talk about inheritance. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21. I tell you, the book of Proverbs is so practical. Don't you agree? Chapter 20, verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Now, one chapter before, chapter 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. All the ladies says, amen. All right. You know, somebody said money is not everything. But it should keep in touch with the children because they know that you have money. They try to be nice to you in some cases. On a serious level, it's not unusual for those who received some of the inheritance, large sum of inheritance from their parents, have a tendency to spend it more loosely than their parents would have done. Isn't that correct? How many families have been destroyed because of the distribution of inheritance? So many. So many. One lawyer said, where there is a will, there is relatives. No kidding. And someone might ask, should I tithe out of the inheritance I received? I would ask, was that a gift from God through your parents, like any other income? And if the answer is yes, why not give it back to God? I did. A few years ago, my mother passed away, and I didn't think twice about it because it was given to me from God through my mother. I tithe. Let's talk about dishonest gain. Dishonest gain. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Am I going too fast? No. 13:11. Come on, Mark, be a man. Wealth gained by the dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathered by the labor will increase. Now, keep your finger there, and then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28. Is that in the Old Testament?
No.
Oh, good. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, and rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Back to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Bread gained by deceit is a sweet to man. Get this. This is so good. But afterward, his mouth will be filled with gravels. I tell you, Proverbs is so descriptive. Chapter 21, verse 6. 21:6. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Bible has a lot to say about dishonest gain. And when the followers of Jesus Christ do this kind of thing in business, it brings disgrace to the name of God. Okay? So a person with a dishonest gain might say, well, I will tithe out of that extra profit. Do you think God wants that? Do you think God wants that? He has nothing to do with it. It might appease his uncomfortable heart because he made a dishonest gain. It does not bring honor to the Lord. Let's talk about the debt, especially credit card debt. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Some of your version says, slave to the lender. The Bible does not forbid borrowing money, and the legal financial transaction involves even interest. But what Bible forbids is robbing the fellow Christian with a high exorbitant interest, and failing to pay the debt that we owe. Romans 13:8, please. Keep your finger in the Proverbs. Go to Romans 13:8. Let's read together just four words there. Owe no one anything. So, how should we interpret this? Does it mean that we should not owe anybody? Then no loans, no mortgage, no whatsoever? If that's the case, we are in trouble, right? Majority of us have mortgage. But the emphasis should be the interpretation of owe. In Greek word, this is a continuing tense. That means it do not continuously owe. In other words, whatever debt we owe, we should pay on time. And we should be prompt in meeting our financial obligation, like paying mortgage on time, the rent, and the utility bills, and other bills, credit card payment on time. See this? Credit card is a good thing, in my opinion, as long as you pay each month. At the end of each month, you pay them off. It's a good thing. You can build the credit in a very good way. However, that's not how it works in majority case. What is the average interest rate for the credit card nowadays? 23%, 24%, isn't it? Huh? 28.9. Second biggest reason for divorce in America is financial crisis. First one is adultery. Second one is financial crisis. With a credit card, the couple may enjoy this 120-inch Blu-ray HD plasma screen in kids' bedroom for every bedroom in the house. Do you need that? But they have these crazy things that they cannot even afford, but they buy with a plastic, and then their time, the piper comes, and you gotta pay the piper. And you don't have anything. Then what? The pressure from the bill collectors around 6 o'clock in the evening, or always during the dinner time, and easily get into the couple's relationship. And pretty soon, they don't know what to do. The average outstanding credit card, this I did some research, went to the creditcards.com, I found this. Average outstanding credit card debt for the household that has one single credit card is $10,679. $10,679. One credit card. So if they have more than one, it's not unusual for a couple or family to owe $50,000 just on credit card. And how much do they make? Not that much. Even if it's $10,000, if a person, a family is making $4,000 a month, gross income, and that person better not eat anything and go not do anything for 2.5 months to just to pay that debt. I have a small tip for you, for those who are in debt with a credit card. If you can pay extra on the lowest balance of the credit card debt first while you're paying other debts, okay? The lowest balance. Pay extra, whatever you can put it in, you put them in. And once you pay it off, roll that extra payment to the next lowest one. Why the lowest one? Because it gives you a feeling of accomplishment. And you continue to move on. In the meanwhile, here's the kicker. Accumulate any more debt. Even if you find a really, really, really good deal that you want, guess what? If you can afford, it's not a good deal. Get it? Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody have this, selling this, what kind of bike you have? Kawasaki. Yeah, let's say Brian is selling, I don't know what kind of bike he has. Kawasaki Ninja with a 400, whatever. He's selling for $2,000. Is that a good deal? Yeah, you bet it. If you don't have a $2,000, it's not a good deal. Is that what you want or is that what you need? If it's what you want and if it's not your need, it's not you, what you need should have. It will take time. How do I know if this works? It worked for me. But you have to be disciplined to pay those things on time. If you want to know more about it, come see me. I'll help you. And we have two financial advisors. You know the Mike Solder, which had a class, and the Jerry Hamby. He can pinch the penny so hard, Lincoln's eyes will be crossed. Okay? He's a miser. His wife is worse. So you can get a wisdom from those two. If you need help, come talk to us. Okay? Now, let's take a look at the helping poor. Helping poor. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. 14:31. You never heard of pinching penny, making eyes cross? Guys, you never go around. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. 22:9. Is this practical for you?
Yes.
I think so. 22:9. He who has generous eyes will be blessed, and for he gives of his bread to the poor. Now 29:7. The righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. You see, folks, our God has special heart for those poor and needy. He is their protector. Jesus' half-brother James was adamant about this thing. Let's go to James chapter 2. James 2. Philemon's Hebrew, James chapter 2. Verse 15. You there yet? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also the faith by itself, if it does not have a work, is dead. In our church, we have a benevolence program under the supervision of Pastor Jack Laverty over there. It's to help those who are in need. However, we find out that in the last 9 years, by the way, this is our ninth year, October 20th was our anniversary. Yeah, ninth year. There are people who con churches. They abuse church benevolence system. They go from church to church and using same sad story. And saying, well, I got many phone calls as well. And they said, well, can you pay my rent? And the first thing I asked, do you come to our church? And they said, no. Do you go to other church? No. Then how do I know that you really need this thing? Click. See, that's the reason why we decide that our policy for the benevolence, we limit helping our own needy people and the one whom we know personally. When you put together Operation Christmas Child, many of you did, for those children, needy children in third world countries around the world, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. You're blessing them. One more thing. If you are going to lend money to the needy within the family of Jesus Christ, I suggest you not to charge interest according to Leviticus chapter 25. Not to charge interest. I suggest. Okay? During the Old Testament time, God made it very clear, do not charge usury to your brothers and sisters. I extend the same thing to our Christian brothers and sisters. If you have money, just give it to them without letting anyone know. Don't send out all these flyers and saying, I'm giving this money to so-and-so. Am I good or what? No, don't do that. If not, if they can pay you back, good for them and good for you. If not, you're blessing them in the name of Jesus. Remember, they might be poor, but they should still need to be treated with the dignity. Agree? All right, what about those who are poor because they are lazy? God has a warning for them. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. 10, verse 4. I'm about done. Relax. It's a miracle right here. So are you prime rib or the T-bone? Okay, chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hands of the diligent make it rich. Chapter 13, verse 4. You know, if you eat a lot of junk food like me, then you don't have to worry about it getting cold. Insulated, correct. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Way in the back. Okay, in the Old Testament, the fat means usually it's rich, loaded. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Is it clear enough for you? All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. One book before that. Chapter 3, verse 10. This is a final thing. If anyone would not work, what does it say? Neither shall he eat. It's one thing to be poor because of their circumstance, like nowadays happens a lot. People get laid off from their employment. But it's another thing, just plain lazy. And the Lord does not have a whole lot of pity for those who are lazy. Okay? You understand that? So what is our first priority in finance? Chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase. Your barn will be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. As I said before, I've never seen any Christian who does not tithe to be mature in the Lord. And some of you are thinking, wow, you saved this best for the last, huh? Talk about tithing. I will talk about tithing because you need it. I'm going to be blunt, more blunt than ever before. To those who are not tithing, by the way, I don't know who is tithing, who is not tithing in our church. I know how much I'm tithing, but I do not know how much my wife is tithing with her own income. And I chose not to know. You can ask our office manager. You can ask our treasurer, Jerry Hamby. I do not know. So I'm talking to somebody in this congregation. If you're not tithing, listen, please. The reason why you are not tithing is because you don't trust God. It's not because you don't have money. You do have money, but you are not trusting God. You are not obeying God. And in addition to that, it is because you are holding on to that money as an idol. Instead of depending on God to help you in the rainy day, you help depending on the money to help you on that rainy day. Throughout the Bible, he made this very clear. Somebody will argue that, well, it's not mentioned in the New Testament. Guess what? You're a theologian. You are absolutely correct. Do you know it never mentioned about tithing that you should do in the New Testament? However, you don't also find Jesus and his apostles said, don't tithe. Do you find it anywhere? You don't. As a matter of fact, Jesus honored the woman who had two mites, and that's all she had, and she put all of that in the offering box. You remember that? Okay. Jesus honored her. So you have a choice. Since you don't believe in tithing, then Jesus honored that woman who put everything in the offering box. You can do a tithing, or you can put everything into God's hand. It's your choice. Either way, it's right. If you receive from God your income, you don't earn it, God allowed you to have it, shouldn't you give it back to God? It's simple as that. Let me make it very clear here. Tithing is not about God needing your money, but you needing faith in Him. Everybody understand that? Did you hear me saying, give money to church? Tithing is between you and God. Rather than coming up with my own applications, let's just read verses from the Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. The reason why Jesus talked about money issue more than any other subject in his teaching in the four Gospels, because we're holding on to that money. Do you know only less than 10% of church congregation tithe? Less than 10%. I think we have a little higher than that. But majority of people don't tithe. Because if we had majority of people, all the people tithe, probably we would have our own building by now. Chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Move down to verse 24. This is a memory verse. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We're asking you to give us the wisdom and insight to live the life that glorify you, exalt your name. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.